It's the Ewan versus Kelly show. Yes, we've had no end of issues with bits of Skype going off, people being a total ass unquote themselves, meetings being thrown into the hoops, and Doc was supposed to be here, and we've got no idea what's going on in Hawaii, so it's just me and Kelly. But we thought this would be a good opportunity to do and thrash this out once and for all and get our differences settled. Kelly Gamont, how the devil are you, woman?
Not bad, eh? How about you?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. It's been a good week, innit?
Not too bad overall.
Thanks for everyone who's written in last week. My dad's fine, apart from he's back in hospital for something different at the moment. So, but he was just I was more worried about my mum with everything that went off last week, which is why I shut everything down. But thank you for the emails that I've had and a couple of tweets. It's been very kind of you. But he's all right. He's all right. We're here to discuss the week in Apple. I've got to say sorry to the sponsors as well, because there was absolutely no sponsorship messages last week, of course. So thank you to the Network Union and to UK2. Please support these guys, because
we do love them.
I clearly didn't last week.
They're pretty fantastic. Like, overall, I mean, we're going to do this again at the end, but they are pretty fantastic. Like, you could definitely do worse. You should totally check them out.
Totally.
And plus, you get deals.
Totally. I can't believe you're talking over my apology. We started well, innit? Right. First things first, Apple event is going to be broadcast live. Most definitely.
It's going to be terribly exciting.
It's not 4 days to go, I don't think, anymore. I think it's less than that. But this is the screenshot that I got. Live from the special event, there will be on Tuesday at 6 p.m. UK time, 10 a.m. Pacific, there will be an Apple keynote which will be broadcast live to your Apple TV and other things. Don't forget, of course, that the London Mac User Group are holding their event, and their event is going to be at Tiger Nightclub in Piccadilly. So it's a fantastic venue. I did a corporate thing there a couple of years ago, and it's a really, really great little nightclub. It's superb. It's all above ground as well. So we've got a lot of subterranean stuff that we do with London Mac User Group. So the Wi-Fi suffers, or the Mi-Fi suffers off your 3G dongles and things like that. Because this is above ground, and because it's an old building, I think we should get fairly decent reception. So we're hoping, fingers crossed, that we'll be able to broadcast. Certainly there'll be the feed in there. That's not going to be a problem. There's a screen. It's a big, huge area. There'll be 150 seats available to sit in the dancey floor area while you watch the screen, and there's a fair few seats around the outside. There's a bar on. Here's the best bit. Beers are £3 a bottle, which is fantastic for the middle of London. So that's like,
nice.
That's like $5. And bottles of wine are £9. And I think the last time I was there for a corporate event, I did have a wine, and I think it was actually very, very good. So it's going to be good alcohol. There'll be food available, I think, as well as. And we've got the whole keynote going off, and we'll be broadcasting live if we possibly can. But all you need to do is go to the London Mac User Group site. Just Google London Mac User Group, and it'll take you to their webpage. Please register to come, though, because they want an RSVP on it for numbers so that they can tell the nightclub, you know, how much to prepare and that kind of stuff for seating and so on. So it's £5 for everyone. And if you're an LMUG member, then you'll get that £5 back, so don't worry. But if you're not an LMUG member, it's £5 just to come in and watch the keynote and have some fun. We've got 95 Mac are going to be there as well. One of their bods is going to be in, so we'll be talking to them. And it should be an absolutely fantastic night. The last one that we did at the London Transport Museum was absolutely magic. It was an absolutely brilliant event, absolutely packed to capacity. So please, please, please make sure you RSVP so we know when you're coming, and chuck up your fiver. And if you don't want to, then when you get there, say, I'm going to pay me fiver. You pay your fiver, and then say, well, actually, can I join? And they'll give you the fiver off your membership, and it's only £15 to join LMUG for the entire year. And then all the events are free thereafter. So you're going to get four keynote events at the very minimum. It's a wonderful, wonderful night.
That sounds awesome.
Now then, Kelly, come on. Analyse that picture for me, because this is their invitationally type thing, isn't it? What shit have you heard?
That far, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Flint Center, because this, to me, is the most fascinating piece of the event.
But this is the this is the event. The Flint, this picture here, the white building.
Oh, yeah. See, I totally can't see what you're showing me.
So. No. But there's a white building, isn't there, that's completely encased in Cupertino.
There's a new... Oh, no. The Flint Center is just a... it's a theater.
All right,
it's
okay.
It's not like a... what do you call it? They didn't build a building special. What they did do was tack on a structure onto the side of the Flint Center, which is where they're having the event.
Okay.
So they've built this whole other thing that's sort of attached. And so what I wanted to, before we get to what that part is,
okay.
Let's just talk about Apple events in general.
Well, sure, so sure. You go ahead, mate.
At their town hall, that area, that room, the town hall, when they say they're in the town hall, that's like 300 people.
Yeah.
Ish, give or take. Yerba Buena Center, which is another place that they have them, that they have been known to announce things from time to time, holds about 750 people.
Right.
Flint Center holds upwards of 2,500.
Oh, okay. And they've had to build an extra bit on the side.
Now, I don't think the extra bit on the side is seating. And this is where it gets into, my house of crackpot theories. With the attached building, I think what that's going to be is a demo of CarPlay and HomeKit. Because I think what they built over there
is a racetrack. Oh, you think they built a house in the extension? I was thinking they built a racetrack.
Oh, I wish it was a racetrack, but it's probably not. I think it's going to be like a demo, like the house of the future, but it's going to have a garage because there's going to be cars in it because they had cars at Dub Dub this year.
So Ferengi's going to be in there doing his usual boneless self. No?
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to serve two purposes. I think number one, it's going to show off the technology and it's going to show like, you know, it's going to be like a cutaway of the house. It's going to, you know, like a dollhouse. And then they're going to show Craig like saying, hey, Siri, it's time for bed, like he did at Dub Dub in June. And then they're going to show like in this room, the lights turn off. In this room, the thermostat drops a few degrees. In this other room, you know, something else happens, whatever. I think they're going to show that off. And then I think what's going to happen is after the event, the people who are invited are going to get a chance to walk around through it.
Mm-hmm.
And demo stuff for themselves. That's what I think.
Okay. So what's this picture about? Is that a strap? Is that a strap? Or is that like
a
roof?
It depends on what the picture is.
Or is what do you see in this Rorschach blotting test thing that is Apple's invitations?
Well, my favorite thing that I've heard is that I've heard of everything so far. My favorite thing is that the invitation, when they did the invitation, they're doing the event on 9/9, which is two sixes upside down, which is proof we're getting two iPhone sixes.
All the devils coming.
Well, that's only two sixes, so.
Oh, okay.
Then. An order of magnitude below Satan, unfortunately. so there is that.
Okay.
But that's so far. That's been my favorite thing. Has been that's what people are saying might happen. I think that's hilarious. The other one that I enjoyed has been whoever it was that said the reason the Apple logo casts a shadow, which is not the case on the back of an iPhone.
Okay.
The reason the Apple logo casts a shadow is because Apple's wearable is a sundial.
At least as accurate as.
Yes. So far that's been my favorite. I think it's just a cool stylized logo because.
No, really?
There's not a great leap between 7 and 8.
I see. So. I see a roof there, look, though.
Okay.
I can't point, obviously, but I see a roof shape here, look, to the right now. I've been talking to you about them building a house. It's only just come to me, I have to admit. So it could be utter bollocks. But
okay.
There's a vertical thing there, look, which could be a hand pointing up like a 12, and then that's a roof. So it's 12 okay. Roof. I don't know what the wavy bit's about. That's a strap.
I like that too.
Yeah. Tell me about your mother.
I think it's just a neat looking invite. Like, you know, we had the...
Oh, that's all they ever are, girl. I mean, they're just some psycho babble bullshit that they put in just to piss everyone off. They're all sitting there going, what shit have Mac rumors come up with this week then about this? Or what's Tuwa said about it? Or what's 9 to 5 Mac crapping on about? And Tim sat there and they've got a sweep running round. That's all it is. And so first one, right, first blog to mention the sun. There you go. And Ferengi wins it every quarter. That's it. That's all this is about.
I think it's funny. I kind of like some of the speculation. I'm curious. I'm never as curious about the design of the invitation as what it says. Because it says, we wish we could say more.
Yeah, but that's in double down on secrecy, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe that's what it... Well, you'd think that, but then they talked to the New York Times yesterday.
Give me the analysis of they wish that they could talk more. And go on. Give Ferengi a bingo. House! He's shouting. Gammon said, house! Come on, then. What is it?
Well, someone else said just garage. So that all it's going to be is cars.
It's Apple's version of bullshit bingo, says Big Russ. We do Elmug. There is keynote bingo, which they just haven't got the guts to call it bullshit bingo, but there is keynote bingo as well. There'll be a prize. Sorry, carry on. Anyway, go on.
Now I forgot what you wanted me to tell you. What am I speculating about?
Well, what we wish we could say more. We wanted to know what you're going to say that means Ferengi's going to win the employee of the month. Go on.
He gets a good parking space for October. Is that how this works?
Because Gammont utters the following words. Go ahead.
Okay, we wish we could say more. I think initially I thought maybe it was because something was delayed, but now I'm not sure if it's going to be because they say more. I think it's going to be, I really don't know.
I can't believe you just kept me hanging for nearly a frigging minute for I don't know. What's that mean then? And it took you a minute to say, I don't know. That's you all over, Gammont. Concise, no. Not a word you associate. Kelly Concise Gammont. No, not really.
Never, ever. I have been accused of being many things in my life. Concise has never been one of them.
Yeah, chat room says I'm up on points here. Round one to me. Don King wanted this, but I turned the bugger off.
Shame, chat room.
Right, first story then, because none of that was a story based on the fact that Kelly couldn't come up with an answer. Jennifer Lawrence has had pictures of herself, selfie amongst being the operative word, and a few other people as well as, but mostly she's the one that's the catalyst for it because she got them out for an iPhone picture and someone's hacked the cloud backup and got them and posted them online and there you go. Mm-hmm. Not that there isn't enough pictures of Jennifer Lawrence's boobs online anyway if you want them, but this is clearly a gross breach of the Ms. Lawrence's privacy.
And a couple of people have said, and this was the part that to me was kind of the terrifying bit, Mary Winstead said they were old photos of her. They were photos from a long time ago.
Is that because there was wrinkles missing or something?
No, I think she probably...
No, mean, I've seen her in that pose before, and there was definitely more wrinkles.
I think she just knew they were legit, but knew when they were taken, and knew that it wasn't, like, within the last month, you know, which is what PhotoStream is supposed to be, is only the last 30 days. So that's kind of creepy when you think about it. Like, the whole, you know, then it started to come out that these were pictures that were being swapped and collected online by people. And it's kind of, I mean, that's scary. And it happens to people all the time. And for people who don't believe that and are really looking to just lose a lot of faith in humanity, there is a whole subsection of the internet called revenge porn. And it's when maybe you took a couple of pictures of the person you were dating and now you're not dating that person anymore. And now you're going to go humiliate them by posting those pictures on the internet. This happens often, and so far my favorite response has been from people who said, well, she shouldn't have taken the pictures with her iPhone, which is sort of like if I come across someone in the street and I beat them up and take their shoes, and then somebody says, hey, you took their shoes, shouldn't have been wearing shoes, dude.
No, that's not a good analogy at all, mate.
It's a very good analogy. If you didn't want me to take your shoes, then you shouldn't have been wearing them and presuming that you weren't going to get beaten up and have your shoes taken. You know, I presume, if I'm going to take them out for an iPhone photo, that it's going to stay on my iPhone.
Right. The problem you first got with that as an analogy is the fact that that's done in the public street. So there are lots of witnesses. There are lots of people that can probably dive in to help you. And also, who the hell wants a pair of shoes? Even if she's Miss Lawrence, they're not the valuable item. The valuable item is the fact that she's got a kit off.
Right. But so, it could be Jordan's. I mean, you know, anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, I wrote a blog post on this. You know, she's worried about personal attack. She has a bodyguard. If she's worried about someone stealing pictures with no clothes on, A, don't take the pictures with no clothes on. B, don't put them on a device that people could steal and physically get hold of them anyway. And C, don't use a service in the cloud that if someone's got your password, it doesn't matter what else you do.
And that's the big part, is that people think that someone with ill intent somehow magically got in and got these iCloud backups, which is where the photos came from, and that's not what happened. People had crap passwords. It's the exact same thing that happened a number of years ago when Paris Hilton's phone got hacked. The reason Paris Hilton's phone got hacked was because somebody went to the T-Mobile website because she walked around with her T-Mobile phone and was in an ad or something. And people, it was very obvious to the world that her phone was a T-Mobile phone. And somebody went to the T-Mobile website and T-Mobile was backing up contacts at that point. And they entered in, like, I forgot my password. And made a guess at her email address. And then it said, okay, well, what's your security? You know, here's your security question. What's your pet's name? And I never cared what Paris Hilton's dog's name was, but I totally knew.
Yeah,
so somebody filled it in and they handed over access to everything on her phone to this person.
That's horrific.
So, yeah. So if you're going to do this, this is the kind of thing.
Is that two-factor authentication if they ask your dog's name? Is that what they mean?
No.
Oh, okay.
Two-factor, we'll talk about that in a second.
I'm joking. That was a joke, Kelly. Move on.
A good thing to do is to take your favorite friendly neighborhood password generator, whatever it may be.
No, hang on a minute. Are you going to tell me that if I've got LastPass or 1Pass, then I'm safe? Because that won't help, will it?
At all. Well, it will.
Because a lot of people have been talking about that.
What you do is, like, when I go in, I don't tell the security question what my mom's maiden name is. I don't tell it that. I give it a random string of stuff because they're not going to check. Nobody's going to call me and say, your mom's maiden name really wasn't XQLV9768.
You totally just told everyone.
I'm going to go, yeah, you're probably right. They're going to go, you really need to go fill that in with legitimate information. Nobody does that. So what I do with LastPass, 1Password is create a random, you know, generate a random password and stick it in there as the answer to the security question. And then I include it in the notes on the login item so that I have that information if they ever need it from me. But that makes it a little harder to guess because you can't go on my Facebook page and find out and get my mom's maiden name.
You're saying don't tell the truth.
Put that stuff in.
Don't ever tell the truth on your security questions. You're a liar, Gamont.
Yes. On those easily verifiable things, I absolutely am.
Okay.
That's why. Now, with two-factor authentication, for people who don't know what that is, two-factor authentication is something you have and something you know. So I know what my password is, and I have my iPhone. So I can have somebody, I can, you know, so for two-factor authentication, I can go in and say, here's my password on my brand new computer someday. And then I'll get a text message that says, you also need to enter this code. So if somebody, if you, for example, you and are trying to impersonate me, you don't have my phone. So when that text message comes here, I'm going to go, who's trying to get into my Apple account? Because I just got a text message, but I'm not entering the password anywhere. I'm doing something else.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what two-factor authentication will do. And two-factor authentication from Apple, the way Apple has it implemented, does not protect your data. It only protects your credit card.
Yeah, that was the thing with the credit card, wasn't it, with Amazon? They played one off against the other, and they got the last four digits off Amazon, and they only had to put in the last four digits on the Apple one to get in before. Yeah. That's how they got that journalist guy. Big Russ in the chat room says two-factor on Apple does not work properly. And he also says, Apple, always lie on the Q's and answers, write them down and use 1Password or LastPass. But we're saying that, you know, that don't read that as 1Pass and LastPass would have saved you and would have stopped what happened to Lawrence, because it absolutely wouldn't have stopped what happened to
right,
Lawrence.
Right, because what happened with her was a brute force password attack.
It wasn't. It wasn't a brute force.
The last I had heard was that because Apple allowed infinite retry attempts, they just fired things at it until they got in.
They are still saying, denying that the breach was a system breach or a brute force breach. The person who entered had the password.
Right, but the way I understood it was that they got the password, that they were able to try many things until they got the password that they wanted. So I could be wrong about that. But what's important is that somebody getting the opportunity to try and try and try and try and try is a very good way. That's one of the ways that people use the information from one breach and create another. So if you use the same password everywhere, big deal if you get my LinkedIn account. Like, what are you going to do? Update my resume? But if I'm using that same password on Amazon, which has all kinds of addresses and credit card information, and PayPal, which has more credit card information, and iTunes, which has truckloads of information, then, you know, that can be a real problem. So that's part of the reason that people talk about using a different password everywhere, because even if what I have is particularly clever, if I'm using it every place, then it's not going to really do me any good. And, you know, people talk about, like, you should change your password once a year or every 6 months or twice a week or, you know, alternating Tuesdays or whatever method people have. But even if you do that, I could change my password for whatever every single day. And if someone gets it today, I'm just as out of luck, just as far up a creek without a paddle as I am if I only ever used the same password on that service for all the time that I've had it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the key points to say. I mean, I stumbled across an article by Nick Kabrilovich, which was talking about understanding the it's called Notes on Celebrity Data Theft, and he's talking about the subculture around the acquisition of password and login information, and he's basically, I'll summarize probably unfairly to Nick what he's written here, but it's effectively, this is a frigging industry, and
oh, absolutely,
she did nothing. And that was my point in my blog about it before I'd read Nick's article was, you know, these people, there was a great value in what was on her photo stream / backup. And yep, she placed no value on what she did to protect that thing of great value. Now, the great value she had in not having pictures of her with her dibs out on the net getting around is the same value as the person had who stole it. So there is great value for the thief. And the thief has gone to extreme lengths, probably though much beyond what you'd expect Apple to counteract even, to acquire it. And she's done nothing. And we keep coming back to this. And everyone's ignored this. Oh, poor Jennifer. Sorry, Jennifer let herself down. A, she had pictures with no clothes on a hackable device that she could have lost down the crack of a limousine seat, let alone anything else, and it would have gone. And B, once she realised, she should have realised not to do it, she should have realised that when she had done it, she needed to start deleting backups to make sure that no one could get to it. You know, who is telling Jennifer Lawrence? She's not a stupid woman. I refuse to believe that. I've seen her interviewed and I've seen her in films, and she is not short of spanners. So what on earth possessed her to take a picture with no clothes on? Maybe a bit of youth. By the way, Kelly, have you Googled Kelly Gamont nude selfie?
No.
You want to?
I don't know if those four words have ever been strung together in English.
No, number one is, if you Google Kelly Gamont nude selfie, you get a picture of Brian Chaffin.
What?
You get Brian Chaffin's Twitter picture.
No.
So there you go.
Broken.
But there's people that could think, oh, Kelly Gamont, she's hot. I'm going to see if she's got any nude selfies online, and they're going to get a picture of Brian Chaffin instead. Now that is security. Right there. No one's going to do that again.
I'm afraid of yeah.
But here's the other thing. I got two pictures. No, let me finish.
We have those backscatter scanners here at the airports.
Right.
And I'm against them. And so as are most...
Well, you got to, otherwise they can't take your image.
What?
You've got to be against them, otherwise they can't take your image.
Well, yeah. So I don't like that they do that. And I have the same sort of approach to that as I do pictures on my phone, which is, you know, they could be on the internet and I don't want that. So... So I opt out of them all the time. And there was some perky little TSA woman who was giving me the Freedom Fondle, who explained to me, or attempted to explain to me, like, you know, what, can you tell me what your concerns about the backscatter scanners are? Cause maybe I can address those for you. And I said, you are broadcasting an image of me to another location using IP technology, which is what the internet uses.
Which is insecure.
And if there are going to be naked pictures of me on the internet, I'm going to be the one who puts them there. And that shut her right down.
Yeah, I haven't done the backscatter scan search. Telegamon nude backscatter scan, is that what you're saying? Right, but here's the serious point now, because apart from the fact you get Brian Chaffin up, I've got two pictures of here that if you do a search on Kelly Gamont, you don't get image returns on these. And if you put Kelly Gamont nude selfie in, you get two pictures in that aren't in there in the normal search, which I thought was quite interesting. And if you turn safe search off, you get a picture of a naked woman bodybuilder who scares the shit out of me, frankly. If I came across her in a dark alley, she could have me purse any day. But she's nude. And I guess her name is Kelly Gamont.
Oh, my goodness.
No, it's not. It's Tazzy. Oh, that's weird. But she's, I think, I'm not wishing to be derogatory to Tazzy in any way, because I'm fairly scared of her. But woman's a broad description. Definitely. But there's tons of stuff. Kelly Gamont, nude selfie, actually gets a picture of Tim Cook 10 lines down. And an Xbox controller as well. There you go. It's the Brian Chaffin one though. That's, you know, stuff.
I have no idea what to say to that.
Stuff LastPass, that would be it.
Now that's security though, that you get someone else instead.
Right on. There's going to be a complete refresh of the store. Apple gets app redesign look to improve navigation. A la friggin' Lulia.
Oh, finally.
I've got to say...
We've talked about this and talked about this. Discovery's a tough nut to crack.
I have looked in the Apple Store for stuff that I know is in there, and mm-hmm. I can't find it. I've searched it, and all I get is some frigging term that's from the forums that says, how much is this and where can I buy it? And there's still no link there that takes me to mm-hmm. it. You cannot search the store for things you know are in there. That's got to be broken badly.
You know what's really frustrating to me is... I was looking for I was looking for a disk utility, and someone had recommended something to me to use for speed tests. Actually, this is a utility you would probably like. So I was doing some hardware testing, and someone said, hey, you know, a good utility to use for testing disk throughput is this Blackmagic disk utility. Okay, awesome. I'll check it out. So I go to the App Store. Because I was told, free in the App Store, go check it out, it'll be great. So I go to the App Store and I type in Black Space Magic and I get nowhere. And I type in Black Space Magic Space Disk Space Utility and I get nowhere. So I go Google it, and Google tells me that Black Magic is one word.
Yes.
So I type Black Magic altogether, and all of a sudden, bam, there it is. But if I give you Black and Magic and Disk and Utility, it should be somewhere in my search results, and it's not.
Yeah, no, you can't. That's the point. You cannot. There is no intelligent search in right. Apple.
And when I fed it to Google, Google said, "You've got all these words, so I'm going to give you this result."
Yeah,
even though two of those words are squished together in the search result.
The thing is, on the Apple website, if you put in Jennifer Space Lawrence, you get the pictures of her with no clothes on there. That's a joke, by the way, Tim. You don't actually.
Yeah, you almost owed me a new keyboard for that. that would have been really bad. I really want search to get better, because I've looked for stuff and had a really hard time finding it. But also, I want
the fact you know it's there.
Better.
It's the fact you know it's in there.
Yeah, that's why it was driving me up a wall.
Yeah,
but that's also why I was persistent and went to Google and said, Google, you know, Blackmagic Disk Utility, let me see if I can find something that will help me track this down. Maybe I can search by the developer or something like that. And you probably would be interested in this utility, because what it's doing is testing the speed of throughput. And it was built by video editors to test throughput to see if the drives that they had were going to be capable of working in whatever the edit suites and stuff were that they were checking.
Is it free?
Yes.
Okay. I should check that out then.
So that's a very customized pick for this.
Well, no, but I've got... See,
just
I've got,
for you, Ed.
Well, I've got the... I am currently coming through the Blackmagic Design shuttle, which I've got to move very carefully. I'll try and get it in shot. There we go. Blackmagic Design shuttly thing. I can't get it any further over without pulling the Thunderbolt cable off, and then I'll disappear forever. But that's the Blackmagic shuttle thing.
Like a good show.
That comes with a whole pile of utilities, I'm presuming, of which one of those is that one's in it. So,
yeah, that's probably a good one.
But the store is broken.
The same folks.
The store is utterly, utterly broken. If you can't find what you want when you know it's in there, then you know you're in bed.
But one thing that I have seen in the iOS 8 beta, which I find sort of nifty, even though I probably shouldn't, because anywhere else it tends to drive me up a wall, is when you open the store and go to search, you get trending searches, which is kind of neat to see.
Mm.
So there is that.
Yeah, but they're trending searches on something that no one can find. It's everyone going, what the friggin' hell's this? And they put it in 10 times because they can't find it. It's actually completely corrupted as a trend. I did show a picture of the right place earlier on. There you go. That's the white building at the Flint Center that's been built on the outside. Performing arts, the Anza College campus in Cupertino, California. The structure is covered by a white barricade that conceals the details of the building underneath. Gave us a hint of the building, but recent aerial footage captured using a drone. There's a lot of drones flying around Apple. Did you see the campus
it's cool.
thing? It's cool, but I mean...
it's very cool.
He's flying it over airspace that's not his to fly over. The building sits in front of the Flint Center on top of the college's sunken garden and wraps around the sides of the pre-existing sculptures.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see.
One more interesting thing about the Flint Center.
Okay.
Apple has held events there before. I was talking about seating earlier, but Apple has had events at the Flint Center in the past. Not very many. The original Mac made its debut at the Flint Center. Also, when Steve came back in 98, the Bondi Blue iMac made its debut at the Flint Center when he made his return. And the next year... he introduced the iMac SE at the Flint Center, mm-hmm. which was another time. They also had it wasn't a product launch, but they also had the 30th anniversary event at the Flint Center earlier this year.
Yes, and I have a Mac SE prototype. Oh, actually, there you go. There's a picture of it, and it's just behind Jeff Gamet on the backside there. By me Sunflower Mac. There you go. Chat room is saying Apple's search engine is very particular, says Booker, which is a very nice way of putting it.
It's excruciatingly particular.
tried it at random start for Yosemite, guessing your next word. This is a test to see you in the world to me, and my mum is so cute, apparently, was the predictive test that Ruata got. So.
Okay.
What's worse, when you put in the name of an app you know exists and gives you 200 other apps with the name is similar first, ahead of the other one? Well done, Big Russ. That's right. Apple Search is not very context aware. No. Even though you put the name in right first time, it still won't get it right. I use this to find apps in the App Store, fnd.io.
Yes, love FindU, which is what I've decided.
I didn't know it was FindU. It could be Apple's new drone delivery system. Yes, right. Okay. Or is that Johnny Ives' white box?
He's gone mobile.
Allegedly, this is the new Apple iPad Air. Now, that obviously looks like it's got Touch ID on it to get you in. And it's still showing as the standard system. But what interested me on this is that they're talking about there being an option with an anti-reflective display, which I thought that was quite interesting because they've obviously gone for the glossy, and I didn't know whether that was true or whether that was bullshit.
It sounds a little BS-y to me.
You can say bullshit. It's all right.
Well, I'm going to call shenanigans on it only because Apple was the first to go with the glossy screen. And to my knowledge, you can't get them otherwise anymore. You could for a while. You had your choice between a matte screen and a glossy screen, but I don't think that's the case now. I don't know. I haven't shopped for a computer in a long time, so I couldn't say. But when I was looking, I remember there not being a choice. So maybe I'm completely wrong about that now, but or maybe they've changed their minds. But everything went glossy a while ago, and it seems like that's been continuing to be the case. I think an air quote new model of iPad Air, new in that it has Touch ID, is probably a no-brainer. That just seems like totally what's going to happen.
So, I mean, are you going to get a 128, you think? Because I think you
will. I'm not getting anything.
Well, no, because the thing is, I mean, I've kind of spent a lot of time. I buy crap anyway. I've got an iPad Mini, and I loved that when I had it. Don't get me wrong, but when the Air came out, it was just that little bit thinner, but I had bigger viewing area. I love that. I don't care. I love having my Air because I like it. The fact that when I'm in the middle of nowhere, I can pull it out of my bag and I'm online straight away to try and get check Twitter or get some email or that kind of thing, which I don't get with my Air. MacBook Air.
Right.
But if you said to me, right, we're bringing out a MacBook Air that's got a 3G card slot in it, or we're bringing out an iPad Air 2 with a 3G card slot and Touch ID to get into it, I would be buying the MacBook Air with the 3G connectivity.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. I carry the MacBook Air around like an iPad. Constantly.
Okay.
And I'll stand and I'll flip it open and type in and that's it, I'm off. And I would love, don't get me wrong now, because that would, if you're saying, right, we're going to give you a MacBook Air with a 3G connectivity card in it and you've got a Touch ID sensor in the corner so you don't actually type your password anymore, you just put your thumb on it and it opens up the desktop. Mm-hmm. Man, I don't care how much you're going to charge for that. I'll buy it.
Okay, so you want a MacBook Air with Touch ID, not I want a MacBook iPad Air with
well,
Touch
no,
ID.
That's what I'm saying, but I love my Air. I love my iPad Air. So if you're saying all I can have is a new iPad Air with Touch ID with a 3G connectivity, I love the one I've got already. So if it's going to give me 128 gig of storage, or God forbid, 512 gig of storage, I think is bullshit. It's never going to happen. But you know, say they give me a massive amount of storage so I could put three or four films on there, then or more, then yes, I might say I'll buy an iPad Air 2. But if you were going to tell me for £1,800 or £1,500, I'm going to give you a MacBook Air with a 1 terabyte drive option, 8 gig of RAM, and an i7 processor, and Touch ID in the corner so you don't have to type your password because you're only holding it with one hand, so you can type with one. I would buy that in a heartbeat, and I would get rid of the Air, but it's got to have 3G connectivity because that's I am right. Absolutely gobsmacked that they haven't brought out an Air with a 3G card slot.
I would be, except that it's not working for some reason. I think that they exist. It's one of the examples I use when people say, oh, Apple is going to do this, or, you know, we heard Apple is considering that. Well, Apple considers a lot of things. You know, they have to go through a lot of wrong answers before they get to the right one. So that's totally going to happen. So I totally believe that there's a MacBook Air with 3G connectivity built into it. I just think...
In Johnny Ives' workshop.
Yeah. I think that there, you know, just like there's probably a bigger iPad and a bigger MacBook Air and a smaller phone. All those things exist. They're just not out in the world. So I think it would be super smart of them to make... I think it would be the killer feature on the 11-inch Air because the 13-inch comes with so much more stuff, but I know part of the reason for that is battery life. so it's probably not going to happen. But I would like to see a really nice 3G connectivity setup in a MacBook Air. I think a lot of people would. And I bet that if they can find a way to make that feasible in some form or another, that as soon as they can get it right, that the laptops are going to start shipping that way, because nobody else is doing that. Nobody else is doing something with the option to, that I know of. And I kind of keep an ear out for stuff like this when it happens, even if it's not a computer I'm going to buy. And I think it would be amazing to get a MacBook Air that had 3G connectivity so that you don't have to carry a secondary device if you don't want to.
I mean, Paul Shabber in the chat room says, well, I've just got my iPhone 5 on hotspot mode and it's connected then to my Apple, my MacBook Air. But, I mean, I've done this with iPhone 4 and 4S. I haven't had a 5. Mm-hmm. And I also do it with my Windows phone. But the problem is it constantly drops the connection. So if my MacBook Air hasn't sampled the connection and gone to the net through my Windows phone, the Windows phone says, oh, okay, fine, and gives up. And it doesn't stay on constantly because it runs the battery down. It's a good feature in that respect. And apparently the iPhone does the same kind of thing. If you don't use the connection to the net with the other device that's supposedly connected, it shuts it down eventually. So I don't want that. I want that device. I want them not have to worry about pulling my phone out and restarting that connection and then putting it back and then opening it up and then typing my password and all that kind of stuff. I like the swipe and bang, I'm on the net and there we go.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's interesting. The two excites me. And if it come out with 128 gig and nothing else goes on with the MacBook Air, which I don't think it will, then I'll probably end up buying another one because I do enjoy it. And I get Sky Sports and that kind of stuff on it and Sky Go. That and the MacBook Air are the only two devices I've got that have got Sky Sports on. So. Brilliant. Now then. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by the. Just look at that, smack right in the front of Kelly's face. The Network Union.
Ow.
The Network Union are fantastic. They support our Patreon door. Apparently, there's been some issues going on with Patreon. If you're wondering why money hasn't been taken, they're upgrading their payment system, so they're going to do it. So just watch out. It'll come in the next few days. And we've had a few people whose donations, they haven't been declined, but there's some weird stuff going on with PayPal because I've talked to a couple of people who I know haven't declined their payments, and they're saying my payment's been declined, and it's PayPal screwing it all up. So check your PayPal issues because you may have to restart. Start it through PayPal. We've had a few issues with that. So, and one of them was the Network Union's contribution for the draw. We're going to start the draw this month. We will be giving away an Apple TV in September if you are a Patreon subscriber. So, thanks to the Network Union for supporting us. If you've got anything to do with BT Business Broadband here in the UK, whether you're talking about the fact that you've got a WAN system that can support it and uses it, or if you've got you're an SME that uses business broadband, talk to Network Union, see what they can do for you. If also you're a consultant who's in supporting another firm who's got WAN or a business connection for BT, talk to the Network Union about what they can do and push their name forwards and tell Robert and the guys and girls up there that you put your name forwards, and you'll get some kudos for that as well. And if you're in America, Masergy, who are based out of Dallas, Network Union are also agents for them, so get in touch with them through the connection. It's britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and click on the Network Union thing. Give them your email. All they'll do is come back and tell you how they can support you. They won't sell on your email so that other people can do it. There's no third-party contact, and they will not call you about anything else other than, can we help you? And if you say, no, you can't, then that's it. They'll move on. So please, click the link, show support for our sponsors, give them your details. We really do appreciate everything that they do for us. And, of course, UK2.net, everything we've got and everything we do with the web is on their servers. They are second to none. We've had a couple of people this week say, oh no, I've lost. I know Rich Harkness lost his connection. He got onto UK2 Help on Twitter, and by the time someone came back and said, can I help? It was all sorted. It was a little DNS issue. All resolved, thanks to UK2. They are the best. They are absolutely the best. So please support the network by supporting them, because every episode we've ever done is on there. Everything we ever do stays up there. We've got unlimited storage space. We've got unlimited bandwidth. You cannot run us dry. And it's thanks to UK2 supporting us. So please check them out and buy all your stuff, your domains, your co-location, your servers, all that stuff from them. They're really well worth it. And they back it up with customer service as well as. And it doesn't, you don't have to be in the UK either. US, you can buy from them too. It's no different. Right. It's time for the cool thing. Mrs. Gamont, what have you got for us? I found out your husband's name today.
I know.
Shh, I'm not saying though because it's a secret, but it's taken me 3 years to find out your husband's proper name, not Mr. Kelly.
Well, like I said,
wait till I send him the link of your nude selfies.
I think it'll freak him out even more than it freaked me out. I have something that I have purchased.
Wait till he opens it up and it's a picture of Brian Chaffin.
No, I did not buy a picture of Brian Chaffin.
I've got some if you want them.
That I enjoy very much is my cool thing this week. It is a Jackery Mini, and it's a little battery pack for your smartphone. Regular price on these on Amazon is about $20. You can get kind of an idea there of the size. It will charge an iPad, which is super cool. This one in particular is 3,200 milliamp. It comes in a few colors. I prefer the orange one. It's actually in my bag in the other room, or I would grab it. I just have the box here. It's reasonably lightweight. The build quality is good on it. It's very solid. Like I said, you can get other colors. So if orange isn't your jam, you know, if you're not Kelly or Doc Rock, they come in other colors. I've seen the gold/champagne color in person, and it's nice. I just prefer the orange, but the gold one is very nice. It does not come with a lightning cable, so you have to have your own cable in order to charge it. But it's super nifty. 3,200 milliamps will give you a couple of iPhone charges, and you can do, I think, one and change on an iPad as well. And it's just got a USB port in it. This is one of the things I love about this one. It's not a built-in micro USB charger. So you can use whatever cable you want. As long as you have a USB cable, you just pop it in the bottom. It recharges it. When you recharge it, you use a micro USB cable. It does ship with that one. So far, everything about it is great. Price. I really like that the indicator is four little blue LEDs. So you hit the button, and it shows you with the indicator how much charge you have. So there's four of them. It's 25% of charge. It's pretty neat. So far, I've gotten a ton of use out of it, and I really like it. And it hangs out in my purse and does a decent job of surviving in my purse, which can have all manner of crazy crap in it. So, if it can make it through my clown car of a purse, I can highly recommend it to anybody else.
Excellent. This is good pick. What was the price?
They make a variety of these. They come in a variety of sizes and capacities. This one here, the little, they call them like lipstick chargers, is 3,200 milliamps, but they go all the way up to like, I think 15,000.
Yeah. But what's the price for that? Sorry, I missed that.
The price for that one is $20 US. It was a lightning deal on Amazon. I got it for like 16.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, and it's awesome. Super handy. Drop it in your bag, and you don't even have to worry about it until... And people I know who have had them for a long time say that they hold the charge really well, which is something that sometimes you don't get with a battery, particularly a battery that you get at a decent price. So,
Bookery says, bright colored tech bits means you lose them less.
Yes, and another way to...
Wise words, dude.
For me, anyway, to lose things less is... I have a couple of sheets of little Hello Kitty stickers, and I stick those on all my stuff, and that tends to make sure that all my crap gets back to me too.
Yeah, because who the hell's going to steal them once they've got Hello Kitty stickers on them? Exactly. Apart from Batwench.
Yeah, maybe Batwench, but
who's got a new job and she can't be here anymore?
I know.
She's got a new job and she can't come and listen to the show anymore, isn't it?
It's great and terrible. I'm really glad that she's got the new awesome job, but I'm really sad that she's not here to hang out with us.
More fun when she was a lightweight. Flaky lightweight drinking coffee and eating biscuits.
Brightly colored. The other nice thing about brightly colored tech bits is that a lot of people don't get them. A lot of people buy a white one or a black one. or, you know, silver or whatever, like the standard issue sort of color and call it good. And, you know, this is another easy way to tell, like, hey, that little orange battery charger, that's mine. So.
My cool thing, I have a Bluetooth speaker that I use for, like, if I'm showing a video, I just put it on the table and it plays. And I used it for quite a large room, for quite a large audience a couple of weeks back. And it was fine. It was all right. It worked. It was great. Thank you very much. It's the Monster Clarity. But I used it on Monday and it was like, I think I'd knackered it, basically.
Oh, no.
So I thought, I'll get another one. And I looked at it. I was like, well, kind of, it didn't work for the bigger room. So surely I should get something that works for a bigger room. And I thought, you know what? Stuff it. I am going to buy a Bose.
Really?
And I bought the Bose SoundLink 3.
Oh my gosh.
And this is like a 500 watt PA. It is.
Oh my God.
Unbelievable. It's. There you go. That's just the bass, the start of this track. It is without doubt, you probably can't hear a word I'm saying, but it is without doubt the loudest and highest quality box I've ever owned in my entire life. I don't buy a lot of Bose stuff. I've got some little Bose speakers that I bought years ago from the Apple store that were gorgeous. They are gorgeous. But I thought, stuff it, I'm going to get this. And this is the start of the track, and I've got the volume all the way up.
SoundLink
3.
Okay.
See, when this gets started, you're not going to be able to hear me anymore. But
wow,
this is like a 500 watt PA. You're going to you would fill an auditorium with this.
Oh my goodness!
Paul Shadwell thinks it was my heartbeat.
I was just waiting for like you to hold up your cup of water to the camera and watch the ripples in it.
It is. It's like Jurassic Park. But that's just the
wow.
That's with the volume. It's not even all the way up there, but that's with the volume. I'm playing off my MacBook Pro here from iTunes. It is absolutely stunning. It wasn't cheap. I think you can get these for about £240. I paid a little bit more than that from Amazon, and I bought the cover and I bought the thing, and it's got 7 hours of battery life once you charge it. Constant playing battery life. I think probably if you've got it all the volume all the way up, you ain't going to get 7 hours out of it. I cannot get over this. This is easily the best money I've spent this year. My review is OMG, buy it. There you go. That's it. I'm not an audiophile. I am not someone who really, really ultra knows their sound qualities and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, the difference between that and another one, if you said between the SoundLink 2 and the SoundLink 3, I probably couldn't tell the difference. But that is like a 500 watt PA.
Maybe the 2 is less expensive now that there's a
3. Maybe. But I say it's about 240, I think you can possibly get it for. And I say I paid a little bit more than that.
The list is 300 US.
Yeah, and I bought a neoprene wallet that goes with it and an orange leather thing that protects it as well.
Oh, cool.
So it's three.
So what was the track? Paul Shadwell and I want to know.
It's The Optimist by Zoe Keating.
Oh, okay.
And if you went to Macworld and you look on my videos, there was a girl that did a thing on a curtain, an acrobat on a curtain, and that's the music she played.
Oh, right. So okay.
Thank you very much to Spotify for telling me that music. Zoe Keating, Into the Trees is the album, and it's an 11-track album.
Okay. Does that do other inputs or just Bluetooth? Is it Bluetooth only?
No, it's got auxiliary as well.
Okay. So I have a call out to listeners. I am looking for a reasonable quality auxiliary cable. Here's the deal. Headphone jack on each end for people who don't know. My car stereo is iPod compatible, which means it has a jack in the back that's auxiliary, and I can run a cable down through my center console and out and plug my phone into it. And that seems like it would be awesome, right? Wrong, because with my iPod, it totally works awesome, exactly like it's supposed to. Everything's fantastic. I plug it in, I move on with my life. But when I use the aux cable, with my phone, I get feedback, so it gives the low buzz. You know, like when you hold your phone too close to a speaker, and you get the little buzzy feedbacky thing. Like when I get a text message, or if my phone's gonna ring, I get the little bzzz, and it's kind of loud because I listen to everything in my car kind of loud because I'm that guy. And I need a better shielded cable so that this doesn't happen. So if anybody out there has anything that they have plugged an iPhone into and they don't get the feedback from, I need to know what that is.
Why don't you get a Bluetooth input dongle?
Because I don't know how to attach one of those to my stereo. That's why.
Well, if you can, no, what you do is that you get a little box that's your Bluetooth receiver, and on the end of that is your eighth inch. So you put your eighth inch into your stereo, like you would do with a normal jack lead, and then you've got a Bluetooth dongle that just dangles down and transmits Bluetooth 4, and you just link your phone to it. That's it. And then it'll play through Bluetooth.
And that's a thing that I can do?
Yeah, I've got one. I've just been looking for it while you were talking, but I can't see it. It's in. Oh, here we go. Hang on. I've got it. So there you go.
I would do that.
You charge it and it lasts for a while, and there's one. It's a Bluetooth. So it's got your eighth inch on the front end stereo, and then it's got a Bluetoothy thing on the bottom. And
keep talking about it till the stream catches up, so yeah, I can see it.
And then you can. You just plug that into your stereo and leave it hanging down. You could put a little power lead in off your lighter socket.
Then
you could link with your phone via Bluetooth.
So how much does that set me back?
I think that cost me £15 off eBay.
Seriously? Yeah. I've spent it, even with the exchange rate, I've spent at least that trying to find a cable that doesn't...
Type into
give me grief.
Amazon.com, Layen, LayenBST. And it's a Bluetooth audio transmitter. And you get Bluetooth audio receivers as well that are the same. So you can plug this one into something that will then broadcast to Bluetooth what the physical out is playing. So I could use that.
Can you spell that for me one more time?
Layen. BST. Bravo Sierra Tango.
There it is.
Bluetooth audio transmitter. So you've got a Bluetooth audio transmitter, and you can buy the same thing, which is a Bluetooth audio receiver, and that's it. You can do both ends, one way or the other. It's up to you. Superb.
That might fix my...
Bookery says, is the iPhone plugged into the cigarette lighter socket for power? Because you might have an impedance issue, I'm guessing, there.
So... No, usually no. Right, very so rarely do I charge my phone in my car.
Paulum says I need to get some Barry White on my Bose speaker.
You totally do.
Yeah. The hum could come from grounding problems in the car, but it's not, according to what we just said there. So yeah, try that. I mean, that'll cost you $15, $20.
That's awesome. I don't think it's grounding problems in the car, because at one point I had a cable that didn't have this problem. So that's why I don't think.
But I mean, if you do Amazon, you just do eighth inch or 18th jack, you should get some stuff that's really well shielded.
Yeah,
you might get some flat stuff as well, which is nice.
I probably need to spend more than $5. That might be part of my problem.
I'd be surprised if that. I think you might have an earthing issue at some point in your car as well as. But that'll certainly get rid of. If you're doing via Bluetooth, it'll get rid of the buzz, no question.
Bluetooth would be so much better, because then I don't have to plug it in every time, and I can just sit down and, you know, go somewhere and it just works. That would be amazing.
Bluetooth audio transmitter or Bluetooth audio receivers. There we go, on Amazon. Where can we get a hold of you, Ms. Gamont?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Kelly G. You can find me occasionally on another show here at the British Tech Network. You can also hear me on the Daily Observation podcast a lot of days with friend of the show, Jeff Gamet. And you can also hear me on The After Show, which is the show that Mike Rose and I have put together now that Tuwa doesn't have a top cast anymore.
Cool. Well done.
And you can find me on Twitter as Verso. I don't remember if I said that or not.
At Verso, yeah. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Monday night, don't forget, there'll be the Apple event at Tiger Tiger in Piccadilly in London. Sign up and send in your £5 and do your RSVP. Even if you just do your RSVP and say you're definitely coming, they'll take the fiver off in the door. But just the key is say you're coming. Definitely say you're coming. Make sure you register it on the London Mac user group. Just Google London Mac user group. You'll get the website and that'll be it. You'll be in. So there you go.
And it's totally worth joining your friendly neighborhood Mac user group wherever you are.
Yeah.
The London one is particularly fab, but seriously, it's a great way to hang out. It's a tiny, tiny, tiny version of what you get at Macworld, where you randomly run into people
at
mug meetings and get to hang out and chat with people you wouldn't get a chance to hang out with otherwise.
No, it really isn't.
That is because you're in a place with other people who share
just
a common interest.
Come and find out and see what it's like. But what I want to do as well, which would be really cool if we can do it, is next time there's a keynote, we could do a live hookup between like Cots Mug or Edinburgh's Mac User Group and that kind of stuff. So any other mugs across the world that can dial into the London Mac User Group would be awesome at some point. We'll see you next week. We'll have a full panel next week. We've got no big show tonight as well, because today seems to be like the first day back at school for everyone, so we couldn't get any guests. So from the Me and Kelly Show, it's good night from me.
And good night from me.
No, you're supposed to say it's good night from him.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Try it again.
Oh, bollocks, I'm not editing.